Support for WPR comes from Tomorrow River Community Virtual School, delivering Waldorf-inspired live virtual lessons to grades 4K through 8th, open to all Wisconsin students. More is at trcvs.org.
Support for WPR comes from Doulaying the Doula, offering birth and postpartum training and certification programs for medical professionals and other interested humans. More information about training is at doulaworkshop.com.
President Obama announced last night that he had authorized limited airstrikes on Islamic militants in Iraq.
The president said that American plans are also dropping aid and supplies to religious minorities who are fleeing the Muslim extremist group, the Islamic State, also known as ISIS.
So is the U.S. getting dragged into another war in the Mideast? And just how effective can the U.S. be in this conflict? With us now is Stephen David, professor of political science at Johns Hopkins University. Welcome to Central Time, Stephen.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Yeah, I want to back up a few days and talk about the choices that were facing the president. Did he have any good ones?
No. Look, Obama was elected in large part getting us out of Iraq and Afghanistan. And to a large extent, he's done that. And so it must have been very difficult for him to be dragged back in.
And so as we heard his announcement last night, I think one of the stories I read, he was very somber, which I would expect. He did not, and somebody else, there was some analysis that said nobody could accuse him of being enthusiastic about this. Is that the way you see it?
Sure. I mean, he did not want to put Americans in harm's way back in Iraq. I think it's the last thing he wanted to do. And while he is reaffirmed that we're not going to have boots on the ground, I'm sure a lot of people are thinking, well, one thing can lead to another, and let's say the airstrikes are not effective in stopping ISIS. What's next? And are we going to get back into this mess despite our best intentions?
And so, as I understand it, there are two issues here, or two courses of action, the humanitarian aid and then the airstrikes. We've already seen a couple rounds of airstrikes and some humanitarian aid being delivered. Are these sort of part of the same larger strategy? Talk a little bit about not the airstrikes just yet, but the humanitarian aid aspect of it, because this is an important element. The U.S. has had this opportunity to provide humanitarian aid in other countries before. Why Iraq? Why now?
Well, a lot of things have come together. First, the Yazidi and Christian communities that are being targeted by an especially brutal, horrific group, ISIS or the Islamic State. I mean, these guys are running through northern Iraq and Syria. They're coming into towns, and anyone who doesn't adopt their version of Islam has a choice. They either have a forced conversion, well, they're killed, and sometimes they agree to convert, and they're killed anyway. And, you know, the word genocide is often thrown around loosely where it doesn't belong. But much of what's going on here is genocidal. I mean, especially with the Yazidi community, ISIS really wants to wipe these people out. And it wants to create this caliphate, this Islamic State across Iraq and Syria, and further, if it can so achieve, throughout the Middle East, where minorities and even Muslims who don't adhere to their branch of Islam have no place. And so you have these people who are running away. They're on this mountaintop. They're dying of hunger and thirst. Children are dying. To turn a blind eye to that when America might be able to stop it, that's asking an awful lot.
And then at the same time, we've got the airstrikes. And how do you go about, if you are the president, if you are the Iraqis, measuring the success of those? Do those areas actually, do we turn back the ISIS forces? Do we just stop them? Do we what?
My sense is, at least initially, the purpose of the airstrikes is simply to provide cover for the cargo planes that are dropping the humanitarian assistance. The cargo planes fly very low. They don't go very quickly. And they're very vulnerable to ground fire from the ISIS forces. So by having suppressing fire from the F-18s, the planes themselves are protected. A more ambitious goal would be to push ISIS back. And I don't think that can be done through the air. Certainly, I think the airstrikes can help, but you need a determined and skilled ground component. And so far, we don't have that. I mean, the Iraqi army turned out to be a joke. I mean, despite the billions of dollars and efforts and blood we poured into that institution, it just broke and ran. The hope and expectation was that the Kurds would do better. The Peshmerga forces were seen to be much tougher and more resolute. But they've been overwhelmed also, probably because they've been outgunned. A lot of the ISIS forces have taken equipment that America supplied to the Iraqi army and has turned it against the Kurds, who are simply outgunned in terms of what they're up against. So I think has to happen now, and what I guess will happen, is that America will supply far more military aid to the Kurds. We didn't do this before because we felt we were interfering in the sovereign authority of Iraq. You know, Kurdistan is nominally part of the greater Iraqi state. If we give them weapons, they might be using them against the Iraqis or using them to create an independent Kurdish state, which can cause instability elsewhere. So we held back. But now I think we're not going to hold back much more. They're the one force, perhaps with the remnants of the Iraqi army, that can stop these guys.
And the president last night did seem to draw a line when he said there's no American military solution to this, meaning, I presume, boots on the ground. Is that a line he's going to be able to hold to? I mean, politically, it sure is one I imagine he wants to.
I think despite the horrendous nature of this situation, I think it would be very, very difficult for Obama to put large numbers of American troops back in Iraq. Now, bear in mind, we've already reinserted several hundred advisors back in Iraq, and my guess is that was difficult for him to do also. But the notion of a large-scale intervention along the lines of the Iraqi war, I don't think we're prepared to do that now.
And you alluded earlier to the idea of a slippery slope. How big of a possibility is that? What should people be looking for if they want to avoid that?
Well, I guess the red line for Obama would probably be a large-scale intervention of American forces. I don't think he or the American people are prepared to do that. That said, there are a lot of other things we can do. We can work with regional allies. Again, we can arm the Kurds. We can provide military advisors. We can have more robust airstrikes. But at the end of the day, if it requires a large-scale intervention by American forces, I think that's not a bridge he's prepared to cross. And that must be difficult for him, too. I mean, on the one hand, he doesn't want to put American forces there. On the other hand, again, it's hard to turn a blind eye to these horrific massacres that are occurring. I mean, this group is supposedly even too brutal for al-Qaeda. And the strategic significance of ISIS taking over large portions of the Middle East are devastating. You know, look, a lot of attention has been focused on the Israeli war with Gaza, and I don't mean to minimize the horror and suffering of the people in Gaza. But strategically, this is a much bigger deal because you're talking about a group that can take over the heartland of the Middle East that's dedicated to the most extreme form of Islamic terrorism. That's something the United States or pretty much any other reasonable country does not want to see happen.
So given all of that, did the president really have the option of doing nothing, of just looking at all these things and saying, you know, now is not the time to get involved?
He did. I mean, you always have that option with a humanitarian affair. Look, by some estimates, 4 million people have died in the civil war in Congo, and the United States is not involved, nor are there efforts to make us involved. In Somalia in 1994, in Rwanda in 1994, 800,000 people were massacred, and the United States did nothing, and the world continued to spin. Right now, with the world's attention on the Middle East, maybe this is too difficult to ignore. And, you know, I have to say I'm conflicted myself. I don't want to see another American intervention in the Middle East. But it's gut-wrenching to see what these people are doing. So did Obama have an option? Yes. I mean, he could have simply said, this is not our fight. We're going to evacuate the American personnel in Kurdistan, and they've got to work it out themselves. And I suspect a fair number of the American people maybe would go along with that. Perhaps the fact that Christian communities are being targeted and the Pope is involved has made this kind of avoidance more difficult. But in the end of the day, if he chose to turn a blind eye, he could have.
Well, that's a good place to leave it. Thanks so much for being with us today, Stephen.
It's my pleasure.
We've been talking with Stephen David, a professor of political science at Johns Hopkins University.